Well, good morning, Mount Helena Community Church. Good morning to those of you watching us online as well. Thanks for joining us. If you are a guest this morning, I want to introduce myself. My name is J.R. Quigley. I'm the senior leader here at Mount Helena, and we are very glad that you chose to join us in worship today. We're always looking to gather the family of Christ together in worship, and if you're a guest, I want to let you know that we do have a welcome packet for you out there in the lobby at the Welcome Center. You can pick one of those up on the way out. It has some information about who we are as a church. It also has a connect card in there. It's an opportunity for you to maybe leave us your email address or phone number or both. We'd love to touch base with you and see how your journey is going, see if there's anything we can do to help you continue to become a part of what we're doing here at Mount Helena. And so we just welcome you. Glad you're with us. You did pick a good day to visit if you are a visitor. We have a great service planned ahead for you. I want to let you know that out there as well, we have these menus. There are group menus, and so there's a bunch of small groups listed in here with information about the groups, and so you're going to want to grab one of those today, or we have one online. You can go look at the directory there. There's all kinds of groups there. We're doing a series called Life on Purpose, beginning in a couple of weeks, and we'll be preaching on Sundays, and then the groups, some of them, the Life on Purpose groups, will be going through the Life on Purpose book together each week, and then we'll come back together on Sundays and hear a message. We have other groups as well. There's some fun ones in there. There's some deep ones in there, so you're going to want to take a look at those, whether you grab a booklet out here in the lobby today, or you go to our website, mounthelena.org, and check out that menu, because next week is our sign-up Sunday. And what that means is it's a lot of fun. We set up the tables, a bunch of tables out in the lobby, and all the small group leaders will be out there. It's kind of like a little fair where you can go and visit with the different small group leaders, learn about what their group's about, maybe ask some questions about details about their group. So I want to encourage you this week, be sure you're taking a look at these menus online or the physical ones and making some decisions about getting involved. You know, church is a lot more than a Sunday morning. It's life. The body of Christ is at work all week. The kingdom of God is being spread all week, and we're all growing as disciples. If Sunday's not enough, is it? Sundays is not enough to grow as a believer in Christ. It takes a lot more than that, and so we want to challenge you and encourage you to get involved with a group. It's a great way to continue to grow in your faith and build relationships. I also want to let you know that next Sunday, from noon to 6 o'clock, we are hosting an event called Hope Rises. Now, this idea was stirring in the congregation, and some ideas were coming up, and all of a sudden, God just seemed to open the door. But what we're attempting to do here at Mount Helena is create a day where we just declare, today is going to be a day of prayer where we pray for the community of Helena, specifically with the suicide issues that we have and the mental health issues. It's a dark thing in our county, around our community, and in the area. Almost all of us have been affected by suicide locally, and it's actually staggering how high the rate of suicide is in our community. And so we believe that prayer is the most powerful and effective thing that we can participate in. We believe that prayer changes things. We believe in Ephesians chapter 6, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers, rulers and forces in the heavenly realms. And we believe that our prayer makes a difference. And so we want to pray that God would have mercy on us and break through the environment here and shift it in such a way that we see less suicide and those types of things in our communities. How many of you think that would be a good idea? Come on. So what we've done is we've said from noon to 6 o'clock next Sunday, we're just going to have kind of an open house here at the church. We're going to have some music playing. We're going to have prayer subjects up on the slides, and we're just going to be asking people to come in and spend some time. Let's pray. Let's unite. Let's have a show of force here to the heavenly realms that we seriously want to see this change, and we're crying out to God for his power and his mercy upon us. We've invited many other churches in the community to participate, so if you're from another church or connected, we have posters out there on the Welcome Center. You could grab one and drop it off, and all we're doing is we're making it easy. Just do something that day. We have a prayer hike that's going to happen. I'll be emailing you this week with some more details. You can participate in that hike. Go on a hike. Hike up Mount Helena. Hike up Mount Ascension. Spend some time in prayer over the valley. You don't necessarily have to come here and participate. Maybe you can't get out of the house because you just can only watch online. Still, take the time to pray. Let's unite in prayer to make a difference. And other churches, I've encouraged them, just Even if you just take a part of your service, just a couple minutes and pray for the community, or maybe get your prayer team together, whatever it takes. But we really believe it's time for us as a church to unite in an effort to see things change in our community. So this is part of our beginning effort. I deep down, kind of hope this turns into something we do every single year, to just take an issue in our community and make a day and go, we're going to hit the heavens in prayer and make a difference. So that's what Hope Rises is all about. There's a lot more information if you look at that QR code or go to our website. The last thing I want to let you know about this morning before we move on with the message is that we are going to begin extending our service times to 11:10. So when I first came to Mount Helena Community Church, it might have been an hour and a half, and it might have been 3.5 hours long. You didn't know for sure. And now we've gone the other direction. We got it down to an hour, which I think has been good, but we've been really feeling like we need to give ourselves a little more room for some better times in prayer, possibly some better response times, additional things like that. So we're no longer going to be ending the service at 11, but we're going to push it to 11:10. And let's be honest, JR has been pushing it to 11:05 every week anyways. So we want to just be intentional about that, extending that time. So be aware that's going to begin on October 12th. Like I said, if you are a guest, actually all of you, I'm glad that you're here. You chose a really good day to come to church. My good friend Leon Dasrath is here from South Africa. Leon and I we met probably 10 years ago. And Leon works with our good friend Paul Simpson. Him and Paul have been best buds for many, many years. Some of you will remember Paul. He's like a 7-foot-tall white South African guy. He's been here a few times. But these guys together, along with a couple of their other friends, Colin and Gareth, started the Issachar Alliance. And what they do, particularly starting out in South Africa, but now they've moved all up the east coast of Africa. They've got stuff in Egypt and elsewhere. He'll explain more of that later to you. But they're really coming behind these guys that are already leading churches or groups of churches, but they're lonely. They don't have a lot of people supporting them. They don't have a lot of friends. They've just naturally taken on the call to make disciples and plant churches. And all of a sudden, Issachar comes along and is a reinforcement behind them, helps support them. So he'll explain that to you in a bit. Leon and I were just in Uganda together in June for a couple of weeks. We got to touch base with a couple of groups there that are becoming a part of the Issachar Alliance, guys who are doing amazing work, but they need some reinforcements. And so that's what Issachar comes in and does. Leon has become a good friend. My family loves Leon. We've stayed in each other's homes. His daughter, LaChandre, was here with us, lived in our house for about a month a couple years ago. He's a dear friend. So would you please welcome our friend Leon Dasrath to the pulpit this morning? I also need to mention that probably what he spends most of his time doing is he pastors a church in Howick, South Africa called Freedom Church. So I'm sure some of the Freedom people will be tuning in this evening too, because it's evening for them or getting close to it. They'll be tuned in right now watching Leon to make sure he represents them well here at Mount Helena. So welcome, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
There you go.
Good morning. Is it coming through? You don't think so? I put it on now. All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is a blessing to be here once again. Hallelujah. For those of you who do not know me or who haven't heard me preaching, I love using two words. What are they? Amen. So it's hallelujah and amen. And it's just my style. It's just, if you agree with me, shout out, be together with me, align with what I'm saying by following when I say hallelujah, you say hallelujah. Or if you don't agree with me, then just keep quiet. Amen. But it's really good to be here this morning. I really bring greetings from South Africa, from Issachar Alliance, and also from the local church that I lead, that Joyard has just said, Freedom Church. And so basically this morning, I want to stir your hearts. Amen? Yeah. I want to trust that God would lift your view. You know, sometimes we can be inward looking, meaning that you guys are here in Montana, and Montana is all that you see. But God is not just about Montana only. He's about the ends of the earth. He's about seeing the gospel and his presence being released throughout the earth. You guys have just gone through a series over the past 3 weeks of God's vision for the church. Amen? Where J.R. was preaching and he was using the Gospels with regards to God's vision for the church. And in some way, I want to build on that this morning, right? By using and sharing what's happening within Issachar to stir your hearts so that you can be a part of what God is doing. Amen? Because God is on the move, guys. And it is a blessing to be a part of what he's doing. And so we don't want to be sidelined in any of it. We want to ride the wave that Jesus is building up for the glory of the kingdom. And as I do this morning, I'm going to share our story as Issachar Alliance. And so our tagline is glorifying God by making him known, not just in where we live, but to the ends of the earth. And so as the body of Christ, we are called to reach all nations of the earth, which comes from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus says, you will be my witnesses, not just in Jerusalem, but in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is a call not just for the apostles or for the disciples that were there at that moment. Friends, this is a call to each and every one of us. If you are a believer here this morning, this call is for you. This call is for me. And all we've got to do, we've got to embrace it, like fully embrace it. Not just have it in our heads by thinking, okay, that's a very lovely thing what Jesus said, but anyway, this is where I am. No, he wants to lift our view, he wants to excite our hearts, and he wants you to see what is happening in the world today. As of today, there are 3.5 billion unreached people in the world. Friends, 3.5 billion unreached people in the world. People who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? Montana has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes, they have. South Africa has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. But there are nations that are out here that have never heard the gospel of Jesus. If you walk into those areas and ask them, do you know Jesus? They will be like, no, maybe he lives in the next village. That's how it is. This is the reality in what we're living in. And so it's 3.5 billion people. And this is where the great imbalance comes in. And the great imbalance speaks about that there are only 1% of all mission funding that is dedicated to these unreached people groups. Can you see that great imbalance there? Because why? Majority of mission funding should be going to the unreached nations of the earth. But what's happening is that 99% of the funding, of mission funding, is going into reached areas where the gospel has already been. And as you all know, that as JR said, I'm part of Issachar Alliance, but so are you guys. You guys are partnering with us on this amazing mission to see the kingdom come, to reach the unreached, and to train the untrained. And so this is our heart. We want to be a people that are reaching into the unreached nations of the earth, friends. Right? Because that is the only time Jesus is going to come back. Okay, let me ask you this question. Who wants Jesus to come back? Yes. Hallelujah! So do I. But do you know the truth of the matter is, he's only going to come back when all the nations of the earth are reached. Until then, he ain't coming back. So we've got a job to do. Amen? And so it is to reach the unreached, but also to train the untrained. So as a quick example, in Pakistan, where we're working, in Asia, there are people, the gospel is moving rapidly with the group of people that we are working with. But what we are finding is that many of the pastors don't have basic biblical theology. But these guys are running with what they have. The little that they have. It almost reminds me of the little boy with the, what is it, 3 or 5 loaves of bread and the fish. He came with the little that he had and he offered it. That's what these guys are doing. And so part of what you and I can get involved in reaching these unreached nations is to also train the untrained. so that these guys can be better equipped in terms of what God has called them to, but better equipped in how to reach the areas and the nations in which they are at. Now, this excites me. You see, the book of Acts speaks about the acts of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Or some people say the acts of the apostles. It's the move of the Holy Spirit. Right? We see the Holy Spirit moving and he's engaging the people in Jerusalem. But it doesn't end. This is the cool thing about the book of Acts. It does not end in chapter 28. Or maybe you thought it ended there. It didn't. We, you and I are the continuation of the book of Acts. It brings, what do you call it, goosebumps on me when I think about that. Because it didn't end there. Jesus is calling you and I, friends, to continue this mission which he started through his people. This is the call for you and for me. And so throughout the world, to go throughout the world preaching this amazing gospel. So, how did it all begin? How did it all begin? In terms of our work and what God has called us to. So this man that you are seeing there, his name is Tata Zakile. So what did Jesus say in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? Start in Jerusalem, right? Tata Zakile was somewhat our Jerusalem. Because why? We formed a relationship with him over 15 years ago. This was a man, and he is still a man, who is passionate about reaching his communities and the communities beyond him. And when we had met him, he only had about 3 churches. And so our role as a people is to come behind these apostolic leaders, not to tell them what to do, but to be a support base for them so that they can reach further, that they can go further with what God had put in their hearts. And so we stayed in this man's house. We know his family, and we are seeing the amazing things that God is doing in the area that he's in, and he's based in the Eastern Cape. And so that is how our work began. And from there, the Lord started opening up different doors where we started working with different leaders within that area, and the work started to grow. So as Issachar Alliance, what is an alliance? An alliance is a group of independent parties that are formally united and working together because they have the same aims. Our aim is to do what? To reach the unreached nations of the earth. And so we formed this alliance, a body of believers or a body of brothers and sisters with the same heart and with the same mind, that we don't just want to take Jerusalem, we want to take Judea and Samaria, and we want to go into the ends of the earth. Friends, will you join in with us in that? Would you be a part of what God is doing? Right? And so because of the alliance that we had formed with these different apostolic leaders, this is where our support team comes in. And so you can see my shining smile there because I've got gold teeth. I'm the only one on the team who's got gold teeth. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I've got a golden smile. And so this is our team. This is our support team. We are joined together for a common purpose to see the rule of Jesus going across the earth. This is what we are doing. This is what you as Mount Helena Church are partnering into. Amen? We are going together. And so as a support team, as I said earlier on, we get behind what these guys are doing. We don't come with any jurisdiction by saying, listen here, if you don't do things the way that we want it, then we can't work with you. No, it's not about that. And my role within this team, I'm called the tribe pastor, right? And so my role is to liaise with these guys on a monthly basis, checking up what's happening in their areas, checking what support they need, making sure that they have all that they have in order for the work to continue, right? And it's a lot of work, but this is what God has called us to. Jesus never said that this kingdom was going to be easy. He never said that this was going to be a walk in the park. And sometimes I think that's what in our preaching is what we tend to tell people, that, you know what, come to Jesus and he'll give you everything that you want. That's not what the scriptures say. Because the scripture says that when you come to him, you will face persecution. You will face hardships. You will face all of these different things because of his name. But he is with us all the way. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And so that's our Jerusalem. And this is how we had responded. And so you guys know Clem. He's a dear friend. He's a prophet within Mount Helena. We had him over earlier on this year. And he prophesied over us as a team, as the Issachar Alliance team, by saying that we are called to water what God is doing. Now, as you can see, that there's a picture of an aqueduct there. An aqueduct was used back in the day to create channels so that water could flow from one place to another. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 8, it says, "What after all is Apollos? What is Paul? They are only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each one his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes it grow. The one who plants and the one who waters has one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor." And so what we are doing with these teams, and what you are doing as you partner with us, we are watering what God is already doing in the lives of these apostolic leaders, in order that we can see what? We can see growth. Because if you think of a plant, if you don't water a plant and you just allow sun to hit it, what's going to happen? It's going to die. So it needs water. And this is your and my role in the whole process of watering what God is calling us to water, in order that there can be not just addition, but that there can be multiplication for the glory of God. God did not call us to addition. He called us to multiplication. All the way through Scripture, he speaks about multiply, multiply. Never did Jesus ever say add. Isn't that interesting? And so we gather to see this work continue. You see, another thing, that there's different ways in which we want to work with these men. We share who we are, we share what we know, and we share what we have. You see, guys, this is a journey. It's a journey of discovery where we're sharing all things together. You are sitting here in this room today. You have talents. You have skills. You have things that you can offer to the unreached nations of the earth. And sometimes Satan himself can blind you by thinking, listen, there is not much I got to offer. But I want to raise your view this morning by telling you that you are uniquely made in the image of God. There are talents and skills that you have. There are journeys that you have walked on, which can be a blessing to others out here. And this is what we want to be doing. We want to be a people that are affecting the work of God with the things that he has called us to do. And so, this is Southern Africa, where the work had begun. And so currently we have four teams in there that represent 654 churches. That's just within Southern Africa and Mozambique. So in Mozambique, the guy on your far right, his name is Calmito. I met him many years ago. And he was part of Iris Ministries. Have anyone heard of Iris Ministries? Iris Ministries was led by who? Heidi Baker. And so Calmito was someone that was working very closely with Heidi Baker, right? But we came along and we formed this partnership with him. He's an amazing man, but his heart is to do what? Not just reach his local area. His heart is to get into the north of Mozambique, where there are refugee camps. And those refugee camps have been set up because of what? Because of ISIS. And what ISIS is doing by coming and killing people and destroying lives and destroying homes, because of the work of the gospel. And Calmito is someone who wants to get into these refugee camps by giving people a hope, by giving people a purpose and a cause for what they live for. And so he's a man that we work very closely with. Then we have in Central Africa. So that's just, you see, friends, what I'm sharing with you is what God is doing, right? Then we come into Central Africa in Malawi and Zambia. So the guy that you see on your left-hand side, his name is Elton, right? But our work in Malawi started through you guys. If you didn't know that, We wouldn't have got into Malawi if it wasn't for Mount Helena Church. And it happened because of Brandon and Lee. Brandon and Lee formed a relationship with a guy called David Zunda. David Zunda, if for some of you who do not know who I'm talking about, he's a guy that you all gathered some money together and bought a motorcycle for him. Ring bells now? Yeah. Amen. David Zunda was the door into Malawi. Right. And so Elton is the apostolic leader. He currently leads 350 churches within Malawi. David Zunda is a part of that. They have now connected with us. But his heart is not just for Malawi only. He wants to get into Zambia and into the neighboring nations to seeing those nations being transformed by the gospel and lives being changed for the glory of Jesus. And then God started to open up doors into Eastern Africa, where we come into Tanzania and Burundi, Uganda and Zanzibar. And so your pastor JR alluded to it earlier on. Number one, I want to say thank you so much with regards to Uganda. Uganda has just opened up to us recently. But I want to thank you as a church for allowing your pastor to join on that mission trip with me. Let me tell you something. It was amazing. Our backs were hurting. There were insects that were biting us. But you know what? We reminded ourselves why we were there. We were there on a mission. And we partnered together to actually come and see what's happening on the ground with Richard, but also to support him and to encourage him in the work. And now he's fully a part of what is happening, right? But his heart is not just for his local area. He wants to reach the whole of Uganda, but he wants to get into South Sudan. Guys, can you see what God is doing? This is not just an information sharing session. I'm trying to catch you up to what God is doing in the earth today. And you guys are fully, and forgive me if you think I'm repeating myself, but you guys are fully a part of what's happening. Fully a part of it. If it was not for you, I think our work would have been delayed. I want you to know that this morning. And then we get into Asia. Asia now falls under the 1040 window. This space in which the gospel is totally unreached, where majority of the unreached people groups come from this 1040 window. And God has opened up this amazing door in Pakistan, Myanmar, and Thailand. But with Pakistan, I know you guys, and thank you so much for that, but there was a crisis last year that hit into Pakistan where there was persecution that was taking place. You guys took up an offering for them. It was a blessing for them because people were dying for their faith. You and I don't know about that because we don't face it. I don't face it in South Africa persecution. You don't face it here in America. But when you get to these nations, these guys are living for today, not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring. And this young man on the left-hand side, his name is Zenas. There's a statement that he made once where I said, Zenas, what would you do if they have to come and take you away? He says, Leon, there's nothing more they can do to me. They can throw me into prison. They can beat me up. Or the last resort is they can kill me. He said this when he was 24 years old. A 24-year-old young man made a statement like that. It did something on the inside to me. Because he's living for the gospel. That come what may, he doesn't care what's going to happen as long as he dies in glory. Friends, would we have the same attitude this morning? That come what may, that we would die for the glory of the gospel. And then we get into North Africa and Middle East, and into the Middle East. This is a guy by the name of Imad. He's originally from Yemen, but he had to run away from there. He had to flee from there because he had started a movement declaring the glory of Christ. He had to run away fearing for his life. And he's currently in Egypt where he's actively working. He's actively causing this gospel to spread where he is. Currently, he's back in Yemen because he needed to go and do some stuff. But he's stuck there. He can't get back. Right? But he is a man who is passionate about seeing the next generation being discipled. And God has opened up these doors, friends, for you and I to get involved in it. for you and I to come and be a part of what God is doing. And so with the 14 teams that God has up until this point blessed us with, it represents 1,228 churches. Right? I'm not coming here this morning to come and to boast. It's not about boasting, but I am boasting in a sense about what God is doing. I'm boasting because of what God is doing. His gospel is moving. It started in Jerusalem, which is our South Africa, and it went into Judea, and then into Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Friends, we're in the 1040 window. You are in the 1040 window. This is where we are. And so we want to create an ecosystem where brothers and sisters come together to build and to uplift each other for the glory of God, in order that this gospel may move and get to those unreached nations of the earth. Hallelujah. Guys, I don't know what, this excites me. Like this is the reason why I wake up every morning, to see the gospel getting out there. Jesus didn't save me so that I could have a nice Christian life. And I'm sorry if that hits you to the heart this morning. But he didn't. Jesus saved you and me for others. Do you know that? He saved you and me for others. And the moment we get a hold of that and we understand it, that this salvation is not my own salvation, that I am meant to take it out, is where you get onto an adventure with Jesus Christ. Because Christianity is an adventure. It's not a religion that we're trying to work out and trying to be this and trying to be that. It's an adventure. Going on White River rafting. Who has been on White River rafting? Man, it is crazy. It is crazy. Like every pump that you take, you think you're like, am I gonna die here or what? Guys, this is the journey of Christianity. You never know what's gonna happen. Because we serve such a good God. Amen. But friends, as I said, why am I sharing this? Jesus is passionate for his people. His desire is that no one would be lost, but that each and everyone would come into a relationship with him and with the Father and be led by his Spirit. This is the reason why he gave his life for us. It is the reason we are his inheritance. The people of the unreached are his inheritance. I don't know how you feel, but every day, every single day, there are people that are exiting this earth. And they're either going to one or the other kingdom. I don't know what it does for you, but it breaks my heart each time someone leaves this earth and passes away, and me knowing that that person does not have a relationship with Jesus or doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. There's no hope left, because we are given this window period as we are here on this earth to come into that relationship and to live for his glory. And so this is what stirs us and makes this message so urgent, in order that we need to get it out there. We need to get it out there. And it starts where you are. Because even in your nation, even in your community, there are people who do not know Jesus. And maybe this morning you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Right? You may be coming to church, you may be reading your Bible, you may be praying and stuff. That's all good. But if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, it actually means nothing. And I don't mean that in an ugly way. Jesus is not after you coming to church, although that is important. He's not after you reading your Bible, although that is important. He's not after you praying, although that is important. He's after a relationship with you. And so this morning, if you don't have that relationship I'm talking about, he's calling you. He wants to have that relationship with you. That's where your life starts to make meaning. That's where your life starts to have purpose. Otherwise than that, you're just living for religion. And Jesus is not about religion. He's about relationship. He loves you that much. Amen? But then once we come into that fold, he wants to lift our eyes. Look to the hills from where your help comes from. See what I am doing and come and be a part of it. He's inviting us. So he doesn't just invite us into a relationship with him. He invites us into reaching the ends of the earth. And he's inviting you this morning. He's invited me. And I said yes. What would you say today? What would you say today, friends? Jesus loves each and every one of us. Our heart is to have lifelong partners. We don't just want to have friends for today and then we're gone. JR and I have been friends for about 10 years already. Our friendship's not going to end now. You know when our friendship is going to end? Hallelujah. Who said that? Hallelujah. When we leave this earth. However, it does not end because we will be with one another in glory. And we will be sitting down and reminiscing about, man, you remember what God did there? You remember what he did there? You remember when we went to Uganda and what you told me there? And all of this stuff, the things that are happening, we are called to be a part of it. We want to have lifelong partners. And this is what God is doing, friends. And this is my heart for you and me this morning. And I want to end off this morning with Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, which says this. After this, and this is John. He's having this amazing revelation, right? Where God is just downloading to him, like what's going on. After this, he said, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. Friends, a great multitude that no one could count, right? From every nation, right? From every tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and they were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Friends, that is a picture of heaven. Because Jesus' desire and heart is to see every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every race standing before the throne and worshiping him. But you know what the amazing thing is? You and I get to be a part of this. So don't just picture yourself as the one worshiping at the throne of God. No, you will be there. But you want to look to the person next to you. And that person want to say, thank you for praying for me. Because it was your prayers is the reason why I am here. The person standing on the side of you. Listen here, thank you for coming to my nation and sharing the gospel with me. It's because of your faithfulness is the reason why I am here. Friends, it's going to be a celebration. I can't wait to get there for the many to come to me and say, bro, yes, like, thank you so much. And I'm like, hundreds. What is my point? We all have a part to play. You and I have a part to play in seeing this vision being fulfilled. But it's a choice. It's a choice that we have. It's a choice that you have. And whether you would say, Lord, yes, I want to lay my life down for this. I want to give my life for this. And for some of us, for some of us this morning, you may not leave your nation, but you can pray and you can support in different ways, right? But for some of you, you are called to go to other nations. I'm not just saying relocating for how many odd years. Maybe it's just a mission trip or this. And so we want to partner with you guys in that by saying, come on a mission trip with us. Come and see what God is doing. Come and be a part of what God is doing. When there are requests for prayer that is happening, join in with that so that you play your little part in seeing this vision being fulfilled for the glory of Jesus. This is what it's about, friends. Right? This is what it's about. It's lovely that we all gather like this on a Sunday morning. I love it. But Sunday morning is not our highest best. It should not be our highest best. We should be coming here to be getting equipped in order for the work to continue on the outside. Amen? But sometimes I think we've fallen into this trap by thinking that as long as I get to church on a Sunday morning, that's my highest and best. It's not. You're robbing yourself. You're robbing yourself. So let's change the way that we're thinking. The way we think and the way we've been acting by saying, okay, right, I am coming here to be equipped. I'm coming to fellowship with the saints in order that when I leave this place, I've got a, I don't like to use the word job because it's not a job, but I've got a mission to fulfill, to see the name of Jesus being lifted up on high. And friends, this is the message I'm bringing to you this morning. Amen? Amen? Right? Jesus wants you and me to be fully a part of what he's doing in the earth today. But it starts here in Montana. And then it goes to Judea, and then to Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Personally, I want an inheritance in the ends of the earth. I pray that you would want an inheritance also. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. So friends, this is our QR code. I know QR codes are something that people use today. Technology has advanced. So feel free to click on it. There's more information on there where you can sign up to newsletters and stuff like that. And just follow what we're doing and see how you would like to get a part of it. But as we end the service this morning, I feel that we want to pray for some of us this morning. And so there's two groups of people I would love for us to pray for. Number one is that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we want to see you come into a relationship with him this morning. That your life would be totally and utterly transformed. Not changed, transformed. Amen? Because that's what Jesus wants to do. And you know who you are. It's not about anyone coming to you or tapping you on the side and say, hey, that's for you. No. You know where you are at. You know if you do or you don't have a relationship with Jesus. I don't like using this thing, but I'm going to use it this morning. If you had to leave this earth right now, where would you go? And if you can't answer that question faithfully, then you don't have a relationship with him. Amen? Right? And so we want to give you an opportunity for that. But secondly, I want to pray for people who you feel that God is stirring your heart to get into the unreached nations of the earth. For some of you, I know, like everything in you is bubbling, but fear is holding you back by thinking like, man, I watch TV and I see what's happening and people are dying. It's a reality. But if God is calling you, we need to walk in obedience. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're going to die. Right? No, don't get me wrong. But like as we were going into these different places, yes, there is that level of awareness that, okay, I don't know what's going to happen here, but Lord, I'm trusting you. And we trust him fully throughout the whole process. Right? And so if you're feeling a stirring this morning where God is calling you into the unreached nations or into other nations, whether it be long-term or even short-term missions, then we want to pray for you. Because why? The one thing that we don't want is for fear to hold people back. Fear does not come from God. It is a work of the enemy. Fear has to do with punishment, says the word of God. Right? And so the enemy holds us trapped in this prison of fear, limiting us from stepping into what God has called us to. And so if that is you this morning, either one of those two groups, can I ask you to come forward so that we can pray together and we can trust God to give a fresh release of the power of his spirit to equip you and to enable you to get into these nations. Can we do that this morning? Yeah. Amen.